Hello and welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond. With me as always,
it's your boy Mike.
And we have a very special guest, good friend of mine, Brian. Say hello.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Yay, another guest.
I know, right? I like having guests. Mike never talks. No, I'm just kidding.
You never let me talk.
I never let you talk. That's totally true. So today we are going to not be a train wreck for episode 31 because last week,
is the best.
I mean, being a train wreck is fun, but so I guess we have a Twitter topic that was suggested to us. But first I want to say this, China officially ended their ban on video game consoles after like nearly 15 years. Yeah, 15 years. So they banned them in 2000, but here's the thing, right? This is from TheVerge.com, by the way, if anybody cares. They were banned in 2000 due to fears that they would have a negative effect on the mental and physical development of children.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But well, that's bullshit!
I remember I did like a... I don't know, I wrote about this in high school. And because I wasn't really familiar with what was going on, but because just so much, you know, online, like MOBAs, I guess that was, you know, and on, like, they just basically had to pirate everything. So it was playable, but it wasn't legal. And like arcades were still a big thing or are still a big thing. So, but I thought that went over a few years ago. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Apparently it's officially banned.
Yeah, it could have just been like the start of
the revolution.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess what it said though is, I don't know why this tagline says China has to make a choice: PS4, Xbox One. No, they don't. But apparently, there's been like black market sales of stuff, and they said the whole thing that, or at least this is the point that The Verge is making, is the big three might find it quite a struggle to warm consumers up to the idea of once again putting a game console under their TVs. And that's a really weird thing that I never really thought about, because like something that you want is finally unbanned. Like, it would be weird to be like, well, I don't know about having one now. Like, you would just go get it.
Yeah.
I would think you would just go get it. Like,
yeah, I think they're in the... I did air quotes in the know as much as, you know, anyone else, just, you know, I guess about everything, you know, they may, you know, can't go and buy it, but I think.
Yeah. It's not like they didn't know what a PS4 or an Xbox One was.
Right. Yeah.
But
so that's cool. Kudos to you, Chinese people. Go buy a PS4. Drinks. Yeah. I like your drinks with your little umbrellas. It is seriously is weird though that they like for 15 years like you couldn't just go buy like video game consoles,
right? You'd add a bootleg or whatever.
Yeah, are they like, were they just emulating everything? I guess
maybe. Yeah,
it's like, what's the punishment? What happens to you if you got caught with a PS4? Like,
I don't know if you had to import it.
Oh,
I would imagine you couldn't import it, because if they knew, they'd be like, wait, what are you importing from America or Europe or, you know, whatever other country around us that doesn't have a ban?
I don't know, honestly.
They would find out, like, okay, well, now you're going to jail for importing that, or whatever the
fine,
you know,
like, they just fine you or take it, I don't know.
Imagine they just send you to jail.
Because like you can't, so like here's a United States thing. You know the old well, they're not even really old, but the old square Range Rovers, like the two-door Defenders, yeah. But they had the four-door, like, old school Land Rovers.
Yeah.
You can't import one of those into the United States. It's against the law.
Really?
Yeah. It has to be like, you know, a year like from like the 70s or before, and you can import it, but you cannot import a new one into the United States because like they don't have airbags and like they're not they lack like safety features that modern cars have, but like they sell them in Europe all the time. And but my thing is it's a fucking tank on wheels. Like, if it doesn't have an airbag, I really don't think that's an issue.
Right.
But, like, yeah. people pay, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars for these SUVs. And there's a guy I follow on Twitter who recently just posted, like, after, like, 5 years of arguing with the government, he finally got him and, like, a bunch of other people finally got their Range Rovers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ridiculous. Like, there's a good video on YouTube if you feel like looking it up. I don't remember what it was called, but it was the Customs Department smashing one, like with a crane crusher thing. They just literally pop the tires, they crush the hood, they rip the whole thing up. Like, and there was like, it was to be like, don't get caught importing one of these. And I'm like, screw you. Like, there's nothing wrong with this vehicle.
Just ask nicely.
Yeah. So, anyways. China, yay! Go get yourself a PlayStation.
Cars,
Xbox. Yeah, or a Range Rover, I suppose. Get yourself a Range Rover.
Yeah, sure.
To the topic. So this was tweeted at us at the DGCast. That's our Twitter. If you feel like tweeting at us, because we will totally take your topics if you want to suggest one. And so this one came from Stride N Saunter at Stride, the letter N Saunter. And it's a two-part tweet. It says, people often ask about HD/modern remakes, but I'd really love to know if you would make any newer titles retro. And so then I followed up with, would we be allowed to change games from 3D to 2D because that would limit what consoles we could bring them back to, or like 3D to N64 style limitations? And they replied with, most definitely, I'd love to hear what you come up with. So I'm going to start this off with one game that already exists, but it's not a retro game in theory, but Apotheon is basically like a 2D God of War.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally 2D God of War.
Basically,
so that's like your today version of that.
Yeah, that's a good example. I like that. I don't like God of War, though.
I'm not a fan of the series that much.
I didn't mind it, but I could see why people aren't too keen on it.
It's just, I don't know, I just never was a fan of the game series in general. Like, but I never played them from the start, you know? I started on Ascension, which wasn't exactly like the greatest game in the world.
Right, then you got it for
in the lineage. So I, you know, that could have played a part in it. It's no different than I don't like Assassin's Creed, but I started on Assassin's Creed 2.
Like the best one, and you know, people think. I like Assassin's Creed, but no, I mean it's fair. I just think Kratos is just really just a little too angry for me, you know. And I played the, it was like remastered. It was like the PSP games,
yeah.
And PS3.
PS3, yep.
It was it was fine, you know. But like,
I feel like we've seen Kratos already.
I understood it. I just hated how gray it was. Everything was just dull.
Color palette's pretty tough.
It was fine.
Yeah, like they're good. Like, it's no different than I say the same thing about Assassin's Creed. They're good games. I get why people like them. I get why they're successful. This is not for me. I don't think it's a bad game. I just don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair. I mean, it's
so yeah. I guess basically what they're asking is if we could make a game retro, right?
Mm.
One, does that count? Like, see, this is where we get into the gray area, where we have to look at this. Does this count games that are being made new that have a retro appeal? Because a game like We Are Doomed, all the characters are very pixel art style, right? And
right,
it just, all the animations are pixel art-esque. So is that a retro title in a modern world, or is that just a new title with a you know, retro aesthetic? I think it's more that
it would have been like, oh, take Bloodborne and turn it into a 64 game.
God, if Bloodborne was an N64
or
game.
Destiny turn it into an SNES game, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would have been something like that.
Well,
the thing that's
tough is like there, like you could pick the easy titles, which I'd be like, games like that already exist, right? Like Mario Kart to Mario Kart Super Nintendo is totally different. But if you were to say, let's take Drive Club and put it on like N64, like would that, you know, how would that change? Would it be basically Cruisin' USA with multiplayer?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's tough. What was that? It had Titan Souls. Like, that was just like,
oh yeah, it's like it,
you know,
it's Dark Souls or whatever.
I feel like there's a lot of indie games and some that you know we don't even know about that you know that use those ideas that are you know loved for or you know created by people that grew up with those early NES titles and so on. So I think that's like it's just like making it like a high budget, like you know, like Destiny. I think that's like a hard example because it's so granular, and right. And like I want to like bring it, like draw it back to like an older game, and because there's so I don't know. It's a good like it's just making you think though.
Right? Would Destiny be like Contra?
Mm-hmm.
Except it would. In reality, if you look at like. Contra 3, the Alien Wars on Super Nintendo, like that had like your traditional 2D platforming, side scrolling, shoot 'em up, and then it had 3D levels where you were top down, and it was just kind of like you were going from panel to panel.
Right.
So, yeah. See, that's the thing that's tough is because there are a lot of HD new games that are made in retro styles, but I guess the problem is you've got to think about. The difference between retro style games now and the retro style games of the past is they were made that way because they were limited that way. Where like a person here today is limiting their game based on a design aesthetic, but the functionality, generally speaking, doesn't change. Because like Axiom Verge, right? Perfect example. Axiom Verge, like it is very much like Contra meets Castlevania meets Metroid. Yeah. It's so much more fluid than those games could have ever been because they just simply didn't have the processing power to make them.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like, and so I think that's a perfect example of people are making them, you know, people are making these games in that style today, but the difference is it'll never be quite like the old school games are because simply put, there's just... We have so much more computing power than we ever did before. These consoles are so much more powerful. Like, I don't think they could build themselves a literal limitation of, like, only have, like, 1 megabyte of RAM.
Right. No, yeah.
Yeah, and why would they?
And why would you, right?
That's your feel on the current console.
But in the same token, like, they're saying, you know, HD and modern remakes, right? But if they remade like the Uncharted collection as an 8-bit collection, right? So like it was just but they could kind of because they would just be platformers with different levels. It would just be really so. You know, it would be
Pitfall.
Pitfall or Load Runner, but you'd have to make it like Mercenary Kings where the level design is massive, right?
Yeah.
So each like section is one big level and then you've got to go like all different places to find, you know, your artifacts or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Cuz it would be like the problem is that like Uncharted is a linear story, but if it was a 2D platformer, it would literally just be like go from the left to the right and kill or avoid all the enemies as you go.
Yeah, that's tough.
So
I guess so, yeah.
Because that's like making a 3D or you know vice versa too. I mean, I think then I just thought of any of the 2D Mario games, and then like 3D. I think that like that's a good example of going back and forth and just in maintaining platforming.
Right, like Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In both ways.
Or Paper Mario.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's another. It's all about perspective too, and I think, one of my favorite games, Fez, does, you know, kind of flips that, but it's like, this topic is.
I like Fez, but I hate Phil Fish.
No. Come on.
No, I don't think... I don't like his attitude.
Yeah.
He didn't have the best attitude. Just didn't have the best attitude at all.
But...
That's another topic.
That is another topic. That's totally another topic. So, so here's the thing, right? So we've got to do this then. So if you were to take Destiny and put it on PS2, right? Or put it on, and let's say we'll go further back. We'll put it on N64, right? Because that was like the first. Well, fuck it. We're going to put it on. No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it on Dreamcast because Dreamcast had networking. Okay.
Yeah, true. I was going to say.
And it had a more designed controller that would have been slightly more suitable to a first-person shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it didn't. The dual analog sticks didn't exist, but at least the Dreamcast for the time period had network ability because you had Quake 3 Arena, which was awesome, but and it had broadband versus dial-up. So if you were to take Destiny and throw it on the Dreamcast, like I'm trying to think, like what game it would look most like.
I don't even know.
I mean, Quake 3 Arena is probably like not the most graphically intense game that ever came out on the Dreamcast, but I kind of think it would be along those lines, right? Like, it's just the problem is it's like when you have them now, it's so hard to go be like, what would it be like if I was to make it today? Right. Which is kind of why I wish that there was a way for us to, like, make our own Dreamcast servers and had, like, SDKs to build Dreamcast games. Because I'd be like, here, build it on Dreamcast. Build your game on N64. Build your game on NES. Like, do not, you know, if you really want to make a game, a new game on the HD consoles, like, make it on the original console, you know? Go get an N64 dev kit or whatever they used.
I want to say it's Cuphead, the developers, if they raised enough money for their Kickstarter, they also wanted to do a port, you know, to, I want to say it was, you know, something on cartridge.
Well, Yooka-Laylee, the Banjo-Kazooie sequel one, they have like an N64 cart as one of the Kickstarter things, but I think it was just a USB thumb drive. But
yeah,
it had the label and the packaging and everything. Kickstarter Yooka-Laylee, just real quick.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I think it was just a straight up. You can still back us on PayPal. Yeah. Well, you guys made like a bazillion dollars, so I don't think I need
to. Yeah, you're good.
I'm gonna try to find this too.
Here, let me go and find it real quick. Stretch goals. Yeah, okay, so going old school. N64 shader mode. Digital copy. Toy box, the enhanced toy box, box t-shirt, shiny box, 64-bit edition. A retro-themed physical package complete with classic box, signed manual, and an exclusive Yooka-Laylee N64 cartridge with built-in 64-gigabyte flash drive. Also includes digital copy of the final game, CD soundtrack, and art book, special thanks, and enhanced PC toy box, plus reward also included. So it's not an actual N64 game. It's an N64 cartridge with a thumb drive in it.
Eh.
Which is kind of dumb, honestly, because like I'm not going to carry around an N64 cartridge with me for a thumb drive.
No.
Not into it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Like, because I could just have someone, like, print me a fucking sticky label and stick it on an N64 cartridge and then boom.
Yeah.
And it'll exactly. Like, I could just put that on Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, I'm super stoked for Yooka-Laylee, but I think that's like your the thing is like people are making these older games. The difference is they're making the older games with the new abilities that we have now, and I think that's probably the closest we'll ever get, really, besides games like Axiom Verge and We Are Doomed. Like, they'll have the aesthetic of 8-bit platformers and you know, Super Nintendo games, but they'll, you know, we'll never ever be able to go back, only because, like, I don't think we could build in a limitation of the power that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, I'm stoked that Yooka-Laylee is coming because it's basically Banjo-Kazooie 3,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Banjo-Kazooie, right. Banjo-Tooie, and then this.
It's true.
You know, and it's basic, and it's like they got, and like that's like, I guess that's even more so like the closest they could ever do it, because they got all the original people back, you know. They got the original, the same guy for the music, the same guys who made the stories, who drew the art characters, you know, all those people.
Right. It's not like it's just a new team making it and then getting praise for it.
So
I guess maybe this topic's a lot tougher than we thought it would be.
Yeah, it sounded fun, and then you're like, well,
because you really, really, really had to think about it.
It's hard. Yeah, that's hard because I'd want to see it, and like the, like those are all. We broke it down into good examples of games and kind of what people are already doing,
right?
Which is great. So.
Well, yeah, and like even if you were gonna say like games like Guacamelee is like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Edition, but today,
yeah,
so it's like that's the thing. I guess the problem is it's so hard because you know what would you make, and the difference is everything that's being made currently is influenced by all the games we played when we were kids, anyways. So it's like, so if you're asking me, like, what would I make for this, like, that game already exists. It's just not that exact game, right? Except for examples like Mario and Zelda and Metroid and, you know, like, all those Nintendo games literally have just, it's the same game that's evolved over the course of technology. But, like, if I was to go backwards from a new game, like, I would just be like, oh, well, it would be, like, this game that existed that I played before.
Right.
You know, Battle Tanks is just Jackal from NES, you know, instead of tanks, it was Jeeps. And then Battle Tanks from N64 is now World of Tanks, which is a completely separate game. You know, World of Warships is like, it's kind of like, well, it's not really like Jaws, but it's kind of like Jaws, where you're in the ship and then you're fighting Jaws. But, like, there are so many games that I, like, if you suggested a game, I could give you, like, three examples of games that influenced it, like, without question. It's like, I don't
know. So, like, what about, shit. I'm trying to think if there's any game. Does anyone even still make any, like, a beat-em-up?
You mean, like,
because I'm trying to think of there's
Double
anything.
Dragon?
Yes, stuff that's been influenced by Streets of Rage.
Yeah, I mean, Double Dragon, that would be the long-standing one. Like, are there games still like Double Dragon? Yes.
Remake.
I mean, Double Dragon Neon.
The Retro.
You know, there's the talk of the new Battletoads.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, even that, think about it, right? It's like, well, what would you do? I would just make the new Battletoads, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's just another title with Dragon's Crown on. I played that on Vita. Similar. I mean, I think that was. I think I just wanted to bring that up because that's how much I miss and like that game. So,
Well, isn't there talk about something about Dragon's Crown 2? I heard recently.
I wish. It's a good possibility. That I think.
Because I remember reading something like recently where they like specifically brought up Dragon's Crown, and I was like, huh, interesting. So that was like a kind of a sleeper hit.
Yeah, it's been a few years now. That was 2 summers ago, I believe.
Yeah, like in Gravity Rush. Like, still haven't seen Gravity Rush. But what would Gravity Rush have been back in the day, right? Like, what would your JRPG have been back in the day? Well, it would have just been Final Fantasy. Like, the game exists. You know, these games exist. Like, what would I make Final Fantasy as a retro game if I made it today? Final Fantasy, Illusion of Gaia. Yep.
Yeah, that's hard with Gravity Rush is, we'll see.
Gravity Rush is the only game where I'm literally like, well, it is basically a JRPG, but it's more open worldy.
Open world, yeah. And then the gravity mechanics.
Right.
Yeah, it's like Final Fantasy and Superman 64.
Oh, Superman 64.
It's going to look like Superman 64. And then
play more like a Final Fantasy.
Just play, yeah. Just yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it will come out, but Vita, it will, no. Maybe PlayStation 4. There was like a screenshot or something at a Tokyo Game Show a few years ago, but it was like just like concept art. I was like, oh, okay.
I remember that.
See, never.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Never gonna happen. So that's the thing, right? That's the thing. Like, for me, I sit here and I'm like, well, if I was gonna make a new game retro, the problem is it would just be a literal remake of a game that already exists.
Right.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, I would love to see, you know, Contra 3 Alien Wars get remade with co-op on, like, Xbox or PlayStation, right? Because it would just be fun to play those old games with the multiplayer support we have now.
Right.
You know, and like I wouldn't have to deal with like the game frame rate going to crap when like a bunch of enemies exploded because there's no way in hell these new consoles couldn't handle it.
Right. Well, as I say, it's like it's not so much a new game, but they re-released, was it Metal Slug 3, I think, on PS4?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a PlayStation Plus game.
Yeah, just re-released the game on today's consoles.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're figuring out, is that the games already exist, and it's hard, especially when you give it give or take away things like online, and
right, yeah,
it's hard to say, you know, because like Shovel Knight's another good example of like, well, there it's like best of both worlds, but
right.
It'd be a different game if it didn't, you know, if it were 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, because, and the thing about Shovel Knight is that it's basically, you know, it's like Castlevania meets Super Mario meets, what's the other game that I'm trying to think of? It's like a kind of like a good fit, because it's like got the kind of jump and attack mechanics of Castlevania, where like everything has to be precise, yeah. But like at the same time, like the open worldness of it, when you go into like towns, is very much like Zelda 2, where you talk to people, you collect things. But then like your outer world scene, where you're like doing your level select, is very like, feels very Super Mario.
But we're also having like the luxury of, you know, being able to save and not have, you know, like the frustrations of
starting all
early games, you know, and have it be more accessible than ever. So I think we're really, you know, being treated well. So,
well, except that honestly, I mean, I don't see that as being a huge limitation, because I mean, the original Zelda 2, they had save files. Mario would have been like the one game that didn't have a save file up until Super Nintendo.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking if Shovel Knight didn't, you know, right now.
Yeah, if it was like Castlevania, right. Oh my god, it'd
back the password system.
It'd be ridiculous.
It wouldn't, you know, like yeah, that's what I meant. If it would just be, they can do that now, but if it were taken back, it would just be normal, you know, without. Yeah. So.
Right.
Oh, right. Like a.
Well, I guess I guess the difference is you have to look at games today and say, if we took away all the things that current consoles, like, it's kind of what you're saying, basically, like, if you know, when you have to take away things like online play, multiplayer support, you know, save files, or physical length of games, like, all of these games would have fundamentally changed, right? Because you simply couldn't have built a game as big as Destiny and put it on, like, an N64 cartridge, even just as a single-player game, right? Like, if it had four-player multiplayer, and it was just a single campaign story, like, you'd never have been able to make it work. Like, hell, when Perfect Dark came out, it had co-op, but the game ran like garbage unless you had that expansion pack.
Right.
You know, true. But it had two-player support for in-game, and then it had, you know, it had the first of its kind. I don't think a single other N64 game had it at the time. When you played multiplayer, you could put on bots.
Yeah.
I don't think any other game that I recall in N64 that had it. You know, Jet Force Gemini had co-op. That was a rare game as well. But it didn't have multiplayer with bots. But it did have multiplayer.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and it had collectibles. It had things you had to find. You had to save the little bears. Had different weapons. Had an upgrade system. I mean, Jet Force Gemini was like one of my favorite games on N64, but so it's like, that's the thing, right? It's like, you know, the problem is that most of the new games that are being made couldn't be made on old systems unless you literally whittle them down.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Take out specific mechanics.
But in that same right, a game like Shovel Knight could easily exist on Super Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
You know, that game could go.
Metal Gear Rising.
What about Metal Gear Rising?
Because essentially you could just essentially turn into a hack and slash.
Yeah.
You could turn it into something like Castlevania easily.
Mm. It's just, you know, you have to deal with the fact that it would be like side scrolling or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. And even like the original Metal Gear had like a weird kind of top down, weird, weird setup for viewing. But whatever, it worked at the time.
Yeah.
You know, Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 had the overworlds plus the dungeons and, you know, the weird fake stairs. Your character kind of just descended.
I was going to say, imagine they took Zelda 2 and turned it into a 64 game.
Oh, Zelda 2 as a 64 game would have been amazing. And it effectively was. I mean, if you look at it this way, it really was, right? Zelda 2 was frustratingly hard. Ocarina of Time was frustratingly hard because it was stupid. But
fuck the water temple.
Fuck the water temple. Fuck Z targeting.
yeah.
But like when you think of, like, it's funny that you bring that up because it actually really does make sense, right? Zelda 2 made the overworld huge. It took you minutes, which was kind of absurd, to kind of get to certain areas in the game, right? And you had to go through certain areas where, like, you weren't just walking away. But, you know, when you were in Zelda 2 in the overworld, if you walked off the, like, beaten path, the enemies would randomly attack you, and then you'd go into, like, that one world mini plane area where you just had to kill the enemies or just run and leave.
Right.
And, like, in Ocarina of Time, you could travel the massive areas, and if you wanted to stop and fight enemies that showed up, you could. Otherwise, you had a little bit more freedom to just avoid enemies.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I Zelda 2 and Ocarina of Time, I'm now currently seeing a lot of similarities between the two of them. However, I love Zelda 2, and a lot of people hate it, but it was different. You know, they went from a top-down to side-scrolling, and it also became really hard, and it had a kind of clunky upgrade system, but...
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it had spells and potions. Well, it just changed the game, you know? Because, like, what it was... The way that they released RPG. It would have been... You would have had Zelda 1, Zelda 2, and then... Was it Link's Awakening and then the Super Nintendo? I gotta look this up. Legend of Zelda... I need to see the release dates.
Well, I want to just buy that giant compendium book.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah, with my Wii U, it came with a download of that book. But it's not the
bundle.
Yeah, it's not the same. I'd rather have it physically. But...
Physical, yeah.
And that just, yeah. Yep. Okay.
Oh my god, why can't you just give me the Legend of Zelda, like, breakdown?
I say even Wikipedia has a straight up, just here's the timeline and the list of games.
I love it.
Wait, do you have it? Because that's what I'm looking for, but I just keep getting the individual games. Legend of Zelda at Zelda.com. No, Legend of Zelda. Main games. No. Oh wait, how about this? Featured articles. Selected articles. No, I want to see the fucking timeline, guys.
Your time.
Legend of Zelda. How about this? I'll just do Legend of Zelda release dates.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, it would have been Legend of Zelda 2, Link to the Past, then Link's Awakening. Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Ages and Seasons, Four Swords, Link. Four Swords Adventures, Minish Cap, Twilight Princess, Phantom Hourglass, so on.
Yeah, so there you go. And that's the thing, right? So Legend of Zelda was 86, and Adventure of Link, which is Zelda 2, was 87. A Link to the Past didn't come out, as I think we're looking at the same thing. It's a big graph with a red line on it.
Yeah.
A Link to the Past didn't come out until 1991. So that's 4 years later without getting another Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just kind of ridiculous, because... Yeah. That meant that the first two Zeldas had to occupy everyone's time up until that point, right?
Up until that point, yeah, exactly.
And so, and then Link's Awakening was 93. And, you know, then Ocarina of Time was 98, 5 years later. There wasn't a single Zelda game. Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Ocarina of Time, garbage. I don't even care. People hate me for it. I don't care. I don't like Ocarina of Time. I think it's a garbage game. I think it's a garbage.
I hate it, but it's not. It's definitely not my favorite.
Well, I always go back to
the word garbage a little too much.
My brother said that after he replayed it on 3DS, he has a very different opinion of the game.
Yeah, so
that's about it. Yeah, he said it's not exactly the original game because stuff has changed, but he's like, I don't hate it as much. But he also he also took advantage of the hints that the 3DS thing can give you. He was like, it's a lot easier when you have a fucking clue where you're going.
Fair enough.
But I don't know. I think Ocarina of Time was too big for its britches, you know? I don't think it did. I don't think it was as successful as A Link to the Past was. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like, I think A Link to the Past, for what the console could do and for the world that you had, it was big enough that it felt expansive, but not big enough that you got frustrated trying to go from place to place. I think Ocarina of Time was a little too big, a little too open.
Yeah, but I just think it was, you know, having control of a 3D world for a change.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, I mean, that would have been huge for the time period anyways, just that.
Because
Super Mario, but my thing was Super Mario 64 was equally as expansive a world, but definitely did not feel as small. It didn't feel as, like, empty. You know, there was a lot going on in Super Mario 64. And the first part of the game, when you get into the world, there's just nothing. You just kind of run around for a little bit, you know? And then you go into the castle, and then you start doing the levels, and you're jumping through paintings, and that part was cool. But, the Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons are two that I need to obtain.
Oh, those are good.
I don't have them. I'm in the process of beating Link's Awakening again, but we'll see.
Yeah, I got that for free or whatever with that final whatever Nintendo's thing deal online or whatever.
Oh, right. Before they close
the points.
Club Nintendo.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the thing, right? For me, it's tough because, like, there's no new games that haven't been heavily influenced by old games that I love about them or hate about them. Like, even Perfect Dark, right? Perfect Dark on Xbox 360, Perfect Dark Zero, was kind of like dumb, frankly put. It was kind of just tried to just do more than I think the series kind of supported, and the storyline kind of changed a bit. But like Perfect Dark on N64 was revolutionary, but it followed almost an identical, like, design tree of GoldenEye, you know?
GoldenEye,
it was just the story was changed, and the story was bigger, and there was a lot more going on, and, you know, you had the expansion pack for the N64, so, like, the console physically could do a little bit more. But, like, multiplayer, I mean, the multiplayer in Perfect Dark was essentially the multiplayer in GoldenEye. You just had different guns and skins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic.
Oh, so good.
So that's the thing, right? So if you were going to ask me the question, what games would I want to be, like, retro made? It's the reverse. I want to play Perfect Dark on the N64 now with multiplayer. That's all I want. Like, and I think it's not an unrealistic thing if I can use Hamachi to create a fake LAN on my computer to play a single player or non-online player game against friends that aren't here because I've created a fake LAN on my computer. In theory, there's got to be a way to fake connect a controller to my N64 to play a game with somebody. It's not there.
Right.
Like, so, and honestly, I'm sitting here right now, and my brain just fucking exploded with the most amazing idea, right? So you take an N64 controller, you cut the end of it off, you plug it into the controller, you then wire it to a circuit board, like a,
You can buy a USB.
Right, but what I'm saying is this.
Are you saying, like,
you need to
straight rig it?
You need to. Well, that's what you'd have to do, right? You'd have to create a wireless controller dongle, right?
Gotcha. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that wireless controller dongle for, like, player 2, 3, and 4 would connect to your computer, and your friends would be connected to the computer from their computer as the host controller for player two. So when they send an input, it goes from my computer and sends to the dongle on the N64, and then we can all play it. The problem is that because you couldn't stream, you'd have to also be streaming the console to them so True. That there would be no lag, right? Because if Right. you were all playing Right. on Steam, if you are playing on Twitch, they'd be, you know, 20 seconds behind you.
True.
But there's a new thing that Twitch has where it's like in beta where you can just stream direct, and in theory that would eliminate the lag. Like, no matter what, you'd have to find a way to eliminate the lag. And so, like, for consoles, I think it's very, very much more difficult to figure this out. But when I was just thinking about being able to create your own private LAN that's closed, but you can invite people to it from outside, you could almost make a LAN with your Dreamcast and do it that way. The only problem is I would need the broadband adapter for the Dreamcast, which I don't have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like $200 on eBay.
Oof.
Crap. Well, I hope somebody steals my idea that has a much more technical brain than me and makes wireless.
Hey, it's a great concept. I'm down with it.
Like, I just think if you could connect the controllers to the computer for somebody else to control them, in sure, theory, you could make a closed loop for people to play N64 games. You know,
right?
Wirelessly, because that's all I really want. I want to play my old games with friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
I want to play some super, super.
I know someone developed like a program for the PSP where if there were specific games that didn't have online, you could like set it up through that program and you could play those games online with your friends. So like I think
through like a PSP emulator basically?
No, you used your actual PSP, but you used this dongle you could buy to
you'd need two PSPs. Each person
Just need your PSP, a wireless dongle, and that program.
Yeah.
And you could transmit the signal through to your friends like in a weird way, be ad hoc and play like Monster Hunter that didn't have online with your friends.
That's kind of cool.
Like it sounded really complicated, but I guess there's an easy way to set it up.
Yeah, honestly, Hamachi was super complicated to me until I finally figured out how to make it work. Because me and my friends were trying to play Cube World, but it didn't have multiplayer yet because it was in beta or alpha. And I never actually even downloaded the full game when it released. But when it finally came out of, like, and it had functional multiplayer, like, we weren't even using it because we'd finally figured out how to make Hamachi work, and it was basically you created your own private network on your computer, and you invited your friends to join it, and so while they were connected to it remotely, it saw it as a private LAN. So it saw it as, like, you know, an old-school college dorm room LAN party for, you know, Counter-Strike.
Interesting.
So I'm trying to think, like, could you make that happen? But I don't know. The problem would be, the problem I feel like is less the remote control, but the more fact that the video game feed would be delayed. Mm-hmm. And that would probably be
the ultimate issue. With delay, yeah.
Everybody needs Google Fiber.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
So I guess that kind of ends it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could talk about retro games all day long, but
that's tricky.
It's definitely tricky. Because it's like, the problem is at that point, it's just, you would just emulate the old games on your computer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, like, the best thing is what you can create with limitation. And, you know, I think with any art or almost anything, and you know, we those games are the way they are because of
how the
technology and just the whole process. And I think that, you know, that'd be a strange, it wouldn't be the same way if you took anything away or you know, changed it.
True.
Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, Satoru Iwata was like dissatisfied with like Game Boy Pokemon Yellow like not being able to fit the new regions on the cartridge, so he recoded the whole thing and compressed it himself.
Yeah,
because like Red and Blue were one region each, and he was like, no, this should fit on one cartridge, and then that was why Yellow was the way it was. And it was like, so that was the thing, that was like the start of pushing the limitations. But that was, but that's it, right? Think about it, that's all a Game Boy cartridge could hold, you know?
Right, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, it's weird, like when you think about like a game like Retro City Rampage was like the smallest game ever on a Blu-ray disc when they made like a physical release, because it's like 60 megabytes.
Yeah.
But like 60 megabytes in, you know, the PS1 days would have been a lot. You know, think about that, right? When was the last time you bought a game that was multiple discs? You know, or multiple cartridges, right? Like, think about it. Like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is like a 60 gigabyte install. Like, that's unheard of.
Right.
You know, that would have been unheard. 60 gigabytes would have been like the entire, you know, the entire data collection of the, like, of all of Nintendo at the time in the 1980s.
That blew my mind when the first time I came across, I forget what game it was, but that was on multiple discs for like the 360 or something. I was like, maybe it was like Battlefield and
LA Noir
discs
was. Yeah, Battlefield
LA Noir
was
Noir. Definitely two discs. Maybe, Halo had the two different discs, but it wasn't like actually.
Because sometimes the one disc was just multiplayer.
Yeah.
But
even that, right? They had to put them on separate discs. They just didn't have the space. It's weird.
That's still insane.
Well, then think about it this way, right? Resident Evil 2 was two discs.
But that's also because two different characters,
right? Like, but you couldn't put them both on, which is weird, right? Because like the coding probably didn't exist to be just like change character and change starting point.
Right.
But
also they kind of changed each character's story a little bit, though. Some of the mechanics were the same, but they changed how it worked.
Right, but I'm saying like they were on two different discs,
whatever.
You know, Shenmue is two discs.
Four discs. Well, yeah,
yeah.
Never mind.
I think the game is two, but like the packaging, you get like four discs. But when Resident Evil 2 was remade on N64, one cartridge.
But they also limited it, though.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like. But I get what you mean, though.
Yeah, but they fit both portions of those games. You know, both characters on one cartridge.
Cartridge.
It is kind of weird that games aren't on cartridges anymore. I mean, clearly it's because the space can, like, they couldn't. But my thing is now you could just make cartridges that are, you know, SD cards. 128 gigabyte SD card. Boom. It's like Vita. Vita.
No one wants to buy it like that anymore. That's the thing.
I guess. Yeah. Like, but my thing is if you wanted to, if everything was like a Vita game, everything was a Vita cartridge, one, you could just make a Vita game of like PS4 that had like three Vita slots, so you could just put three Vita games into it, right? And then...
Well, that I think that's like the answer with digital downloads, which is that's its own thing.
I hate digital downloads.
I don't have space.
I have plenty of space. I have a terabyte, and I actually recently just went through and cleared out a bunch of the demos and betas that don't even work anymore. Just because I had like 200 gigs free, and now I have like 300. My problem is I hate not having a viewable collection, right? I don't like, you know, hey, what games do you have? Well, I have to remember. Or hey, what games do you have? I don't know. Go look on my shelf. You know, there's like a bazillion games. Like even right now on my shelf, I have Dreamcast, I have Nintendo, I have Super Nintendo, I have Xbox 360, I have Xbox One, I have PS4, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do enjoy looking at a case more than just being, oh, let me turn my console on just to show you.
Yeah. Also, interestingly, when I was talking about like, just put your PS Vita card into your PS4, I wonder if they'll do that, right? Like if you can make PSTV, you could totally make a new PS4 that also plays PS Vita games.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would do with it, but
yeah, I don't think that's a good idea, but
practicality is probably gone. With it.
Mm-hmm. They would rather you just buy a Vita.
I don't think they want you to buy a Vita.
They, yeah, that's
don't buy a Vita. No, buy a Vita. They're great.
I love my Vita.
I wish I could do more with it, you know? Like, I wish, like, my thing is I don't want to hack it and do all that kind of stuff that people did with, like, their PSPs, but I kind of wish.
Well, you can't anyways.
Not with that attitude.
Ooh.
No, Sony's, like, back in.
Dude, two dudes hacked a fucking Jeep Cherokee. Yep. I think somebody could hack a Vita if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but, I mean, Sony's like, no, we'll
Sony
figure it
totally
out.
Yeah, Sony totally makes it so that you can, but, I mean, that would be cool if, like, I could. Because my thing is emulating, like, classics on the Vita sucks. Most of the game, like, because I bought, like, Jungle Strike and Urban Strike and all those games. And they did not translate well at all.
Yeah.
It was
because of the control issue.
Yeah, the controls were garbage for it. But the problem is the Vita has all of the same controls, you know? So it shouldn't be an issue, but it very much was.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we're going to call it there because I think we'll just keep going and picking on other retro games and picking on new games. And
really what it's come down to, it always just comes down to retro games and then just having a nice physical collection.
Yep.
All the time. True. I think that's
true.
It's just
I agree with that.
I mean, I have over 100 NES games. I have 1/5 of all the NES games.
Wow.
Yeah, there's like 678, I think, not counting the like non-released games, I guess, in the United States at least, and I have like 117.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You have master collection.
You better step it up.
I know, I do. Well, I need to step up my Super Nintendo collection is really what I need to do.
Yeah, don't be a bitch.
But, Brian, thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir.
People can find you on Twitter. They can find you.
Yeah. Twitter is going to be the best. I'm at Blankets Wilson.
All one word.
We can, we'll continue. Cause that, yeah, damn, that question, like, I'm not going to, I think we did a good job, but it's something that like, you can't just. Yeah. There's no answer to, and I think that's why I'm still bothering me.
A little bit.
Come on, Twitter. Whoever asked that question, did a keep them coming.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mike, you are at mtongue1. I am at so after I said, all one word spelled out just how it sounds. You can follow us at the DGcast and follow the podcast directly. Feel free to tweet us topic suggestions. This was a good one. I like this one. Do we have any shout outs?
Besides the usuals.
Shout out to air conditioning.
Shout out to air conditioning. Thank you. At HVAC. No. all right. No shout outs this week. Nobody gets it. Can all go fuck yourself. Oh God! You know I was listening. You know who gets John Cena? The Attack, right? Kevin Pereira. He gets another shout out because I was listening to one of his podcasts and he was like, "Well, that's it for the podcast. Kisses, hugs, and belly rubs is like his thing." But he was like, "And if you don't like the podcast, then go fuck yourself." And then it ends.
Fair enough.
And I was like, "Well, you know what? Hold on. I'm gonna pull it up on my phone just because it's fucking hilarious." All right, so there we're gonna go to the end. All right. All right. Here's the last like 40 seconds.
I miss you. Thank you for sitting down, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, folks. If you enjoyed this, great. If you didn't, go fuck yourself. Kisses, hugs, and belly rubs. Good night.
Wow. I should just cut it off from there.
Yeah. I haven't figured out.
Like, I just, love Kevin Pereira. He's a fantastic human being. Anyways.
G4 TV.
Yeah, G4 TV. Rest in peace. So, without further ado, I believe that ends it for episode 31. And if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself.
Bye.
Cool.
Yeah. No, seriously. All right. Bye, everybody. See ya.